Good evening, good morning, wherever you may be around the globe, in the chat room, on another planet, or on the other side. This is Late Night in the Midlands, and I am Michael Vera. My guest tonight, Caroline Corey. Really good story here tonight, though. Many stories, actually, of gods among us. So we're going to talk with her about that. I guess you could probably figure out who those gods just might be. But that's the conversation tonight. So we'll probably get all the... Well, I won't even say that. But hey, this broadcast is coming at you live from the East Coast of the United States, the capital city, Columbia, South Carolina. The website, www.latenightinthemidlands.com. And my very wonderful webmaster, who does all the great work on our website here, latenightinthemidlands.com, is going to be periodically working on it for the next couple weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks. So you might notice changes here and there. There's going to be a lot of changes, which it's due. It's time. And so my hat is off to Jolene. She does a fantastic job, just wonderful job. As a matter of fact, Ira does both of them. They just work so hard. They really do. So that's why, folks, you know, support us so we can support the ones who support us, really. I mean, think about it. We've got some great people, a great team here on the L&M Radio Network. I could go on and on with names, but I won't do that. But, I mean, there's people who help with so many things that otherwise would crush us cost-wise. And so, you know, it'd be nice if occasionally we can help those people out too. And that's why. Donate. I'm fair, believe me. I like to take care of my people, folks, but, you know, we've got to keep everything on the air first. And as of right now, we're close, but we're not quite there. So help us out so we know that we're here next month. We could pay the bills and maybe could get some of these extras done as well. So, we're right near the end. We're getting close. Was it the 27th? So we've got to do this in the next few days, folks. So donate, subscribe, keep us here. Very important to me anyways. All right. So I've got some news that I want to get into. China, European Space Agency plan to collaborate on Moon Village. They're looking to put up a Moon Village. We go and we're told not to come back. But I don't know what a lot of you believe, but I personally believe that we've still been there, that you know, we've been, there's probably been so many trips to the moon and we don't know anything about it. They say they're putting together two ambitious programs to meet for something even more ambitious. The European Space Agency and the China National Space Administration have begun discussions regarding a potential lunar home outpost, and they want to combine technologies and get this done. So they'll be up on the moon. And so I guess if the United States, this is what gets me. This is where I think that, you know, we get fed a bunch of fudge and they're all working together behind the scenes, because if the United States was in fact doing things on the moon, and China had something going around the moon, a satellite of some sort, then why wouldn't we see it? I mean, why wouldn't they see these things? I don't know if anyone else is hearing this, but now it's gone. Man, I was hearing a loud pitch of some sort was coming over. I was just going to check the phones to make sure it wasn't coming from there, and it wasn't. So I don't know. Very distracting. I'm glad it's gone now. But they're gonna have the high ground. They'll be up there on the moon, and so if the United States is doing anything or ET is doing anything, they'd have to know about it, right? So if they know about it, I mean, they must all be in it together. That's the confusing part for me. You know, are they all in it together or not? I don't know. Aliens may have existed in our solar system long before us. The solar system that humanity calls home may have once been inhabited by an extinct species of space Faring Aliens, a top scientist, has suggested. He has suggested that extraterrestrials could have lived on Mars or Venus or both, and even Earth, before disappearing without a trace. Wright is an astronomer who received global attention after suggesting an alien megastructure had been spotted in orbit around a distant star. We remember that. Everybody, you know, everybody had the answers, remember? Everyone was telling us, you know, what that was and what was going to happen. And wasn't something else supposed to happen? I thought someone said we were supposed to have some big event was supposed to happen these last few days, right? I don't know. That's what I thought. I could have swore that was the message going around. Isn't that what everybody was remote viewing or something? I don't know. Anyways, now the Stargazer has said advanced aliens may have left behind techno signatures for us to find. If only we knew where to look for them. Oh, yes, geez, if only we knew. If only we knew. Yeah, we know. We know well and good. Have you not seen the monuments of Mars? Because there are monuments. Go look up Gary Legere and check out his photos. All right. Ridley Scott. Aliens exist and they will come for us. Ridley Scott said that. He says, when you see a big thing in the sky, run for it. Warns the veteran director, because they are a lot smarter than we are. Now, when I seen the big thing in the sky, I ran below it. I ran right with it underneath. Nothing happened to me. Nobody hurt me. Nobody zapped me up in their ship, or not at least, not that I know of. So, you know, I don't know. If they're that aggressive, I mean, why not pick up a hitchhiker, right? Film director Ridley Scott, he has revealed he is convinced that aliens are really out there, and one day they will come for us. Good or bad, but they'll come for us. The veteran filmmaker is preparing to release the sixth film in the alien sci-fi horror series. Oh, this is why he's saying it, probably because he wants, you know, when their movies come out, sometimes they'll do things like that to pull publicity towards them. So, I don't know, take it with a grain of salt. But nevertheless, I'm sure the ETs will come for us one day. I mean, it can't all be good, right? I imagine if we get out there, some say we are, and we come up to primitive planets. You don't think the people who are running the show here wouldn't do everything they can to take over there too? Of course they would. They're power, greedy power mongers. Grandmothers who smoked in pregnancy may have triggered autism in granddaughters. What a bunch of bull crap. If you believe that, you know the old saying, right? The swampland. Come on. You know, all of a sudden now they want to blame that on smoking. You know, let's take the attention off vaccines. Let's take the attention off artificial sweeteners and all this other stuff. Let's now blame it on grandmas who smoke cigarettes. Get the hell out of here with that. What a bunch of... I won't even continue with that. Historic space error. NASA on the brink of the most profound discovery ever. Alien life. The U.S. Congress has been told that NASA is on the cusp of the most profound discovery, and that's finding alien life in our solar system or beyond. And they believe this because now of Saturn's moon, where they've believe there may be some kind of organisms living there within the waters of that moon. So it'd be life. Life's life, right? You know, it could be like that Avatar stuff. You know, maybe it's so advanced we can't see it. We see a dead world, and, you know, maybe they're smart. They are smarter, see? Guy said they're smarter than us. They would be to get to a level where they can hide from us and don't have to deal with the warmongering societies. Facebook says we'll act against information operations. Yes, Facebook. They're going to send their AI after certain information. So if they think you're doing an information operation, they're going to pound on that. However, violent Facebook live suicide, latest and disturbing trend. I wonder why they won't put as much energy into that. They should shut that right down. They should shut Facebook Live. Facebook should do it. Zucker Pimple should do it himself. He should shut it down till they figure out a way to stop all this nonsense. It ain't nonsense. I mean, it's disturbing, the trend that's going on Facebook Live. Everybody's killing themselves on it. Rapes, murders. I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening there. You want to talk about evil in cyberspace? There it is. There it is. Facebook Live. I'll tell you what. Me and Ira talked about it once. We decided right away. No. You want to talk about a cesspool of filth and demonic internet energy? Go to Facebook Live, and I don't recommend it either. So don't go. The Baldwin County Sheriff's Office has reported that a Robertsdale man apparently broadcast his own suicide on Facebook Live on Tuesday, blowing his brains out live on the camera. Apparently, this is what people like to see now. These kids, they gather, they get their popcorn. What are you watching? Superhero movies or cartoons? No, we're watching this guy on Facebook Live blow his brains out. Oh, cool. Move over. Let me watch with you. Unbelievable. Overly obese body sets crematorium on fire. Well, ain't that about a you know what? Huh? How about that? Wow. So somebody was actually big enough that they started the place on fire. That's why I say, I don't know. I don't want to be burnt up. And with my luck, I'll be in that body, I'll be stuck in it, and I'll feel every bit of it. Frozen brains will be woken up and transplanted in donor bodies within 3 years, claims this surgeon. Professor Sergio Canvero, director of the Turin Advanced Neuromodulation Group, is aiming to carry out the first human head transplant within 10 months, and then wants to begin trials on brain transplants. You know, I'm even curious about this one. What happens when you put somebody else's brain in that body? That raises so many questions. Is that vessel now going to be thinking like the person? I mean, because there's stuff stored in that brain, right? Wouldn't there be? So you connect it back up, and what? There's going to be like a download of information, you would think. What happens to the soul? I mean, what happens to all that? I mean, I don't know. This is just crazy questions. So we'll see what happens when they do the first Frankenstein, and we'll keep our eye on that one, that's for sure. So this is coming, the head transplant within 10 months. Not as interested in that one as I am the brain transplant. And I got to be honest, I'm not interested in having any of this done for me. If I'm that bad off, let me go. I don't need a bunch of mad scientists trying to sew together and make some Frankenstein. Unbelievable, the things they're doing or preparing to do. If the procedures are successful, he believes that frozen brains could be thawed and inserted into a donor body. Oh boy, I bet they're going to put, even Soros, if that old guy kicks the bucket, you watch, they'll save his brain. I'm telling you, they're going to find a way. These people, the only reason they're not gods yet in their mind is because they haven't found out how to live forever. Once they get that down, they got everything else. They know how to do everything else. So they're just waiting for that, and then that'll be it. Maybe they'll clamp down on us at that point. North Korea obliterates the U.S. Capitol and puts the White House in crosshairs in what they say is a terrifying World War III video mock-up. Stupid little Kim Jong Rosie O'Donnell Dunn. What a dummy. What a real dummy this, I don't know what he is. He's like a Weeble Wobble. Remember the Weeble Wobble people? They don't fall down. Remember, I used to have a set of those things. You knock them over and they keep wobbling back and forth, but they never fall down, these things. Well, Kim Jong-un, he's going to fall down, and it's going to hurt. Really, really stupid to be doing what he's doing. He really is. I'm surprised they haven't knocked him off yet. But it's coming if he keeps it up. And they say, let's see, the propaganda video shows a mock-up of rockets hitting the U.S. Capitol. It also shows the White House and aircraft carriers in the crosshairs. Footage also taken from Kim Jong-un's recent military parades in Pyongyang, whatever the hell that is. But so he's pushing the envelope here. And then people will say, you know, they're looking for a reason to go to war. Well, if he's really doing what they say they're doing, then he's giving them a reason. You don't want to give them a reason either. And, you know, how many times can you threaten to bomb somebody before, you know, they can't sleep at night? So at some point they got to do something about it so they can sleep at night. I mean, you know, he would really do it too. I believe he would. I mean, obviously he's provoking, you know, unless this is some trap. Now you'll get some who, you want to get into some real good conspiracy, and they're waiting for us to hit North Korea. So Russia and China and Iran and North Korea could all gang up on the United States. And, you know, I've heard all that. I don't believe any of it. Not that it can't happen. I just don't think it's gonna. China doesn't want war any more than we do. And neither does Russia. You know, it's these warmongers, these power hordes within the power structure. They're the ones who want it. You know, they benefit from it. Like George Soros, he wouldn't care. He'd be all for that. But, you know, I think most of them are. I don't think Donald Trump wants it. But I don't think he's not going to let little Kim Jong Rosie O'Donnell Ung keep threatening the nuke. You know? So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll keep our eye on it. I thought that there was supposed to be a nuke that was going to go off over New York in New Jersey. That's what somebody kept telling me. They channeled in or something, and, you know, it was going to be, you know, the real deal. Well, let's just be thankful it hasn't happened, because it hasn't happened. All right, so coming up next with me here tonight is Caroline Corey. I've never talked with Caroline before, so tonight will be a first. Caroline is a filmmaker, a futurist, international speaker, and visionary author of best-selling books on consciousness and quantum healing. As a child and throughout her life, Caroline has had numerous otherworldly encounters, which led her to remain deeply connected to spirituality, the study of consciousness, and the mechanics of the universe. Caroline's professional career began as a creative director and producer of worldwide sporting and musical events, and then transitioned into creating immersive 360 degrees film media. Caroline has written, directed, and produced short and feature animated film, and completed several features and TV pilot screenplays. Her latest accomplishments include writing, directing, and producing a feature-length documentary called Gods Amongst Us, Among Us, and subtitled About the Science of Contact, and with Otherworldly Realities. She says, in addition to writing and producing, Caroline has appeared as a guest and expert on numerous live and television shows. She has talked to many people who have claimed to have experienced and have had contact, and she's apparently had her own experiences as well, so we'll get into all those. She's been on, again, numerous live and television shows on supernatural phenomena, including the History Channel's Ancient Aliens. So her website, www.godsamongstus.com. See, it's the New York in me. I keep wanting to say amongst. So www.godsamongstus.com. That's the website. It's also linked up over on latenightinthemidlands.com. You could find it in the picture slider. Also on the schedule page. This is Late Night in the Midlands. I'm Michael Vera, and we will be right back. Folks, don't go away. I think it's going to be good.
The L&M Radio Network offers a chat room for you, the listener, to connect with others who are interested in the topics and guests that the L&M Radio Network brings to you. During the live shows, the hosts will even visit the chat room and chat with you, the listener. Click on the big red Chat and Listen button at the top of the website and join us. No subscription is needed at either lnmradionetwork.com or latenightinthemidlands.com.
Brad Olson is an award-winning author and researcher and has spent multiple years proving his works. His books have reached a wide audience across the country and around the world and have won numerous awards. He has appeared on dozens of television and nationally syndicated radio shows over the course of two decades. His book, Future Esoteric, goes behind the official story, revealing there is also an alternative narrative. The newly revised second edition includes more images, captions, and information than ever before. Future Esoteric examines the metaphysical nature of reality and the storyline of what is not being told to the mass majority of people. You can find his books at cccpublishing.com or click on one of his many banners on the L&M Radio Network site at lnmradionetwork.com.
When you need a reliable source for your toner, where do you turn? Laser Technologies International Incorporated, your source for quality laser printer, copier and fax toner. We supply a frustration-free cartridge guaranteed not to harm your printer. Delivering 100% of the quality at a fraction of the price. We have products for most major brands. Find us on the web at www.laser-technologies.com. Email us at service@laser-technologies.com. Call us at 561-792-9600. That's 561-792-9600. Laser Technologies, 561-792-9600. Providing excellent customer service since 1995.
Hi, my name is Michael Vera, host of Late Night in the Midlands. I'd like to tell you about a great blog called Money and Technology. Money and Technology is a blog for people who want to start investing in technology. They often post ideas to make money online, such as social media marketing strategies. In today's world, there is all kinds of money to be made in the technology industry. Whether you want to launch a career in the tech world, or you want to start using social media marketing strategies to earn passive income at home. In addition to learning about investing in technology by stocks, you'll discover many new ideas to make money online. The world of technology changes every single day. If you want to be on the cutting edge, you need to read Money and Technology daily. Please go to their website at www.moneyandtechnology.com.
We know you want the truth. That's why we created Late Night in the Midlands. From the Philadelphia Experiment to the Philadelphia Caller.
Well, first off, I want to say I'm enjoying your show. I wish there was something like this up in Philadelphia.
And from West Columbia to you.
Take no smoking nothing. I'm just out of work, blue collar man. But you know, like I told her once again, you know, sometimes coast to coast, the subject matter gets boring. I've been listening to Late Night in the Middle since I've been on. I think it's pretty cool. And again, like I said, this is what we need around here.
And every now and then, you hear it first, right here on Late Night in the Midlands.
With the old painless from Preston.
Well, the first thing is, though, to be fair, don't you think Mr. Paul and I ought to flip the coin? correct. Absolutely.
Why do I have to be VP?
Well, I was thinking,
you know, I'm fair. Let's let's destiny take it. Flip the coin in the air. If it's heads, I win. Tails, he wins.
Hey, that sounds good to me.
No, it wouldn't matter either one of us. It would be, you know, and I'll tell you this. If Ron were to run again, and if he came to me and asked me to run with him, I will state this. I would give it very sincere and deep consideration.
You just never know who's going to call in on Late Night in the Midlands.
We have George Snorri from Coast to Coast AM. Good evening, George.
Hey, Michael, I promised you I'd call in for a little bit, and here I am.
So, folks, when I say Late Night in the Midlands covers everything, we really do cover everything.
On the east coast of the United States, from the capital city, Columbia, South Carolina, you're listening to Late Night in the Midlands with your host, Michael Vera. To talk to Michael Vera, dial 803-339-2559. Or around the world on Skype, just use Skype ID LNM Radio.
I am back, and I'm about ready to bring my guest on and get into this, what I think is going to be a very interesting conversation with Caroline Corey. I had already read off the bio, the website, right there on screen if you're watching the YouTube feed, www.godsamongus.com. And so we'll get this thing started here in just a moment. The website, www.latenightinthemidlands.com. Folks, I can't stress enough, we need you. Please go on over and hit that subscribe tab. And if you hover over it, it drops down. There's a donation tab. So either or, of course, the donations help us reach that goal quicker. If you go to the right side of our website, we keep listed there. You know, as people donate, it goes down. And that's what we need to do what we do. So hook us up because we want to be around. We're going on 10 years. In September, will be 10 years. I mean, it's flying by. I'm surprised I'm not gray yet. I'm not, and I don't color my hair, so yeah, I'm not gray. Yeah, I'm starting to get a few. You can't see them, but I'm starting to get a few on the face here, but and a few on the sides, but I'm not gray yet. So let's get this thing going here. My guest again is Caroline Corey, and we're gonna bring her on right now. And Caroline, I welcome you to Late Night in the Midlands. How are you tonight?
Hi, Michael. I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. It's great to have you here. I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you. So, all right. Well, I thought maybe a great place to start would be a little bit of background and what got you interested in these Gods Among Us?
So it started out for me when I was very, very young. The experience that is the most, not just memorable, but important that happened to me was at the age of 5. I spontaneously started to perceive the subtle energy, and I actually came in contact with a group of beings that started to speak with me. And it was just an amazing experience. It was very organic, very natural, nothing scary, nothing weird. And those beings started to explain to me that we were communicating telepathically. They explained to me how telepathic communication actually works. And I could see that we were kind of from a similar type consciousness, the similar kind of type of lineage, if you will. And it felt very familiar. And they said that even you're here on this planet in this human body, but we're always connected and we will continue to communicate throughout your life. So because of that experience, I stayed very open and connected to that whole realm. What's out there? Who's out there? And more importantly, how does it really work? How does this contact phenomenon work? And so because of that, you know, my whole work growing up was around the topic of consciousness and how to expand consciousness, how to download, if you will, or to bring your higher dimensional consciousness into this human aspect. So that has been my work all my life. I've been teaching, I've written books, and I've developed many methodologies for that sort of topic. And more recently, I decided to start making films because that's what, you know, most people like to do is watch films. And that's how I got the idea to make the film Gods Among Us. So that's kind of in a nutshell, in a big nutshell, how it came about. But I also, because I've always asked the question, how does it work? How is it possible for a five-year-old to be standing there and to be receiving telepathic messages and to be able to communicate back and forth so organically? And because of that, I was asking the questions from a scientific point of view. And that's, I felt that...
Pesky phones, right?
Yeah, I muted everything. I don't know how it still shows up on the computer because I've muted everything. But anyways, sorry about that.
No, it's so all right.
What I felt was missing out there was what I was most interested in, which is the science of contact. How does it actually work from a physics standpoint, from a mathematical standpoint? And that's what this film is about.
Uh-huh. And this is a little, I think maybe a little off topic, maybe not. But I was just reading a story at the beginning of the show where the scientists, they hope to within the next year or so, they're looking to do the thaw out these brains and do brain transplants. So literally put a brain in, you know, an empty body, I guess. And so what, let me ask you, what do you think would happen with the consciousness there? I mean, if they were successful, well, I mean, how do you even begin to get a concept on something like that?
Yeah, it's two different things. I mean, that's the problem, is that most scientists still believe that the brain and consciousness are the same thing, if they even believe in consciousness itself. So most of the current science is still not identifying that consciousness is something different. And so if you were to just transfer a physical brain from one body to another, the brain is capable of monitoring and organizing and managing the physiological aspect of your being. But that's about it. The consciousness is the one that kind of uses the physical brain to express itself. And so if you transfer just the brain, you can just have a body that's like a machine, you know, that's functioning like a machine, but it's the consciousness that is missing. If the consciousness is missing, then it would be just a generic machine. You see what I mean? So
Right. That's
the difference.
Yeah. It's like the body is this, like this brand new computer, nothing on it. Right. And then you come in with the thumb drive, which would, I guess, be the brain. But you have to put the information on that thumb drive, right?
Exactly. So the consciousness is a type of energy. It's a form of energy that comes in and uses. You can think of the physical brain like the your TV set. So the TV set is just a monitor, and it's connected to a radio station or what have you, or the satellite or the TV networks and those types of things. But you still need the signal to come through. Like the box itself is not going to send out any signal or show you any image. You need a signal to use the box that is the TV in order for you to receive the image and the sound. So the signal is the consciousness, and the brain is the actual box, which is the television set.
I see. So then when we pass off or pass over to the other side, you know, and these bodies die, what happens? I mean, so then that consciousness goes on. Does it go on as we are now?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a great question, because as you know, as I was saying earlier, I could perceive the subtle energy very clearly. So I've seen several individuals actually pass on, and then I could see how the consciousness detaches itself from the body. The consciousness is like an energy field. It's not the same as the energy field that's the energy field of the physical body. It is another type of energy field that when it comes into the body, it locks in, it attaches itself right behind the heart, between the heart and the thymus gland behind the heart. This is where it kind of clicks in, if you will. And when you die, this is where also it detaches itself from the body. So the consciousness itself is eternal. It just moves on, goes back to where it came from. And now that's a whole big question, because where did it come from? Well, every being comes from somewhere that's different. Not everybody's the same. Everybody has a physical body that looks human, but everyone's consciousness is totally unique, comes from a particular lineage, from a particular place within the universe. Sometimes it's from within this planetary system, sometimes it's from this galactic system, sometimes it's beyond. And so that's why every story is different. So if you came from Mars, for example, originally, when you're done with your human body, you go back to Mars. But if somebody else came from the Pleiades, you know what I mean? They go back there. Or you continue incarnating on other planets. So that's why there's no one generic answer. When you're done, you go there. No, there's a process of how to convert back after you shed your physical body, your human body, to go back to your original consciousness. So that process is pretty much across the board. But what do you do after that, and where you go depends on your story, where you came from and what you want to do next this lifetime. Yeah.
When we jump over to the other side, then maybe one of the first things we do is pick up our new schedule.
Yeah, exactly. actually, even before you get to choose any new schedule, you have to process what just happened here, you know, because you probably picked up a bunch of things that you didn't mean to pick up, such as some misaligned energies, some debris, let's say. You've accumulated certain energies that maybe you didn't mean to accumulate, or that is not part of your next journey, you see. So that's why I'm saying you have to process what happened. And sometimes there's a sort of cleansing that needs to happen. There's the whole process, step by step. And then you decide, okay, this is my next schedule.
I see. Okay. So then this brings up getting right into my next question here. And that is with people who have been abducted, or they know, you know, they tell you a story of their abduction and what happened to them. Could it be that maybe they've been, you know, they're remembering different lives or different, Maybe they were on different planets and certain memories are coming back. And I mean, so you talk about this cleansing. I mean, could there be a flaw in that cleansing where some people remember things that happened to them in, you know, different lives, I guess, different classrooms?
Yeah, of course. So these are a few different topics that you mentioned here. Mm-hmm. But you, for the those who say have been abducted, because I worked with several individuals who say they have been abducted, and then when I do a session with them, which you know allows me to go into their subconscious mind, the subconscious mind is still holding on to memory, cellular memory. Things that happened in a past life or in a current life, in an alternate reality or what have you. So I can see that this was an actual experience, or it was a projected experience, or part of it was real and the rest of it was not made up, but projected. What happens is that when we have an experience, let's say somebody gets abducted. So they could remember that they were sleeping and then they saw a spaceship above their room and then they got sucked into a tube of light and now they're on the spaceship. But then once they get there, for example, what happens next could be so traumatic that they subconsciously forget or block out some of the information. So that's why I'm saying that sometimes half of the story is 100% accurate, but the rest of it, as they start to remember it or come out of the experience, they will see only certain things that they can deal with, so to speak. So that's kind of what happens. Same thing with past lives. Sometimes you have some memories that just come up, you know, out of nowhere. And it's just the subconscious mind opening you up to this cellular memory. And so it's a big range of stories and parts of stories. So it depends on, it's case by case.
All right. And now you, I guess, heard the stories of many people around the world who would share accounts of encounters with extraterrestrials or maybe interdimensional type beings, right? And
yes.
So what did most of them have to say? Was there anything that they all had in common outside of, you know, this contact in itself?
Well, the common denominator, actually, whether they came in contact with an extraterrestrial or some other dimensional being, otherworldly being, is that they come back changed. That's the big term. Something happens in their consciousness. They can't really pinpoint what exactly, but they come back totally changed. And so that's kind of an important common denominator, because this tells us that their consciousness tapped into something other than the three-dimensional spectrum. And I could see that in their consciousness as I'm working with them. So I know that there is truth to it. I know it's real because their consciousness is behaving in a certain way. And then when they come back from this experience, it's added on some information, or it's missing some info. Something is changed in their consciousness pattern signature, and so that's the first thing that I notice across the board. But then it depends on, you know, what the experience is. Sometimes they come in contact with extraterrestrials that are scary, or anything that is non-human, as soon as you come in contact with it, you're going to, right off the bat, you know, feel fear. And believe it or not, Michael, sometimes some people come in contact with an angel or a being that's not harmful or negative, but the first reaction as a human is it is non-human. You know, I'm coming in contact with something that is non-human, and the fear kicks in. So there's always an element of fear, and because of that, you block off usually parts of the experience or most of the experience, depending on what it is. So that's what they usually, that's the common denominators. But I've heard some amazing stories about healing. They come back, they had a condition that is totally gone. They come back with a knowledge that they didn't have before and they couldn't have accessed. For example, a 9-year-old that is accessing some scientific information. So I think at the age of 9, you're not looking for that sort of information. Or you come back starting to, you start to write some codes and some sort of a language that you could have never figured out on your own. So that's the third common denominator. People come back with a shift in consciousness that is beneficial in one way or another. So that's kind of in general the things that I've encountered through, you know, all of these people's experiencers.
So now with all the stories that have, you know, that you've heard, when you talk to these folks, I mean, what's the feeling that you get out of it all? I mean, do you feel like, because I've interviewed a lot of people myself, right? And so some of them, I know they absolutely believe what they're telling me. And then, you know, so I give it a chance. Maybe this did happen. And then there's others who, you know, I'll admit, I think are making some stuff up. And so what type of feeling do you get talking with all these people? Do you feel like most of them were being genuine with you? And
yeah, so I think most of the people that come to me are usually very authentic, and they think they're telling the truth. And but see, I'm actually very lucky because, like I said, since I was a child, I could see the subtle energy, so I can sense, like, I can see, even if you're telling me a story, I can not only, it's like an empath, you know, somebody who's extremely sensitive. As you're telling me a story, not only am I sensing the truth of it, but I can also see, I can kind of like see the story unfolding as you're telling it to me.
Are you a parent? Because
yeah, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, do you have kids? Because that's kind of a gift to parents.
Oh, yeah, I am a parent to a small pet.
Hey, that works. You can tell when the pet's lying, right?
I'm still considered a parent that way. It was actually by choice in this lifetime. I said I got a lot of work to do, and so I'm helping a lot of people that way, so I feel I'm a parent to a lot of people. But so I've always, I can feel the energy so strongly that tells me, okay, this person is, not that they're not telling the truth on purpose, but they are projecting, like I was saying earlier. So part of the story is real, and the rest is projected. They're assuming that this is what it means. They're assuming that this is the next thing that happened. So that's why I can, when people are telling me the stories, I'm not just listening or hearing the information with my normal human mind, you know what I mean? And kind of going back to some reports I've read or comparing. I'm not analyzing it in this way. I'm sensing it, I'm feeling it, and I'm pretty much there as well, as if I were living it myself. So that's why I usually can tell. Most people I've, helped have been very authentic. Unfortunately, like I said, some of the stuff that they say, they believe happened, but I can see that it's not, it's parts of it is their projection, so, or assumption. So I help them with the part where they started projecting, you know? And so this is actually my work, where to, you know, help people stay, you know, take the authentic part and to make sure their human mind is not kicking in and analyzing, and just kind of help them see and feel and experience the actual truth of the story. And what happens is that people have this huge relief. Usually they, like I said, they project parts of the story out of fear. If they're on a spaceship and they see that they're somebody's asked them to take off their clothes and they're on some table and they're being examined by three extraterrestrials. So what happened next could be very traumatic. So from that point on, could be totally fabricated just out of fear. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. Now, when these individuals would explain their you know, their stories, what happened to them, did they speak when they talk about this contact? I guess some said they were abducted, right? So was it a spiritual thing? Were they were taken like out of their bodies for this abduction, or was it their actual literal physical selves were taken, or was there a mix of both?
Yeah, it's a mix of both. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because sometimes I see that the actual physical body is taken. The whole thing is actually taken onto a spaceship. And sometimes it's their consciousness that is projecting. It's more of an out-of-body experience. And to them, it's just as real. Now, different things happen in those two different cases. If the entire body is taken onto the spaceship, well, then when they come in contact with the beings and there's some sort of healing that happens or some sort of genetic material that's taken or what have you, that's very, very physical. But when it is an out-of-body experience, so they're not necessarily taking any physical tissue or genetic material or anything like that, but healing could happen, knowledge could be downloaded, and the two, like I said, the two experiences are just as real, except that what actually ends up happening on the ship is different, because you're not, you know, taking an actual physical form there.
And were any of the folks that you spoke with, were any children? I mean, was there children who were involved in some of this?
Yeah, so I've spoken with younger adults, let's say in their teenagers and younger adults, but the children I haven't spoken to the children, but I've spoken to the parents of the children. So I've kind of tuned into, because what happens is that the child is going to go to the parent and say something that doesn't sound right to the parent. And so the parent's going to contact me, because, you know, the 8-year-old is not going to go on the internet and find my email, you know what I mean? And so, you know, so usually it's the parent that comes in contact with me. And I've worked with hundreds of parents for all sorts of stuff, not just abductions, but all sorts of communication with spirit, with other dimensions, all sorts of entities that the children are coming in contact with. And so in this case, I can work with the child directly, like, because it's all consciousness. The child doesn't have to be sitting in front of me. And as you know, there's no time and space. So I could be working with them directly, consciousness to consciousness. And sometimes they come on the call. So I tell the parent, you know, I think your kid's very open, and if you want, we could do a session and just ask them if they want to participate and be on the call. And a lot of the times they want to, and so we have a conversation, with them there. And so I can work with them in either way, and it helps a lot. And even when they're not, let's say, aware, because some people are always concerned about that. They think that, you know, like, if the child is not there, is it okay to be working with them energetically? Like, as if you're doing something wrong, or they have a free will or what have you. And it's absolutely okay, because you can tell, you know, every person's consciousness is kind of a higher self, if you will. And is capable of receiving that information. So like, let's say if I were to work on you and you don't want me to, like you didn't know, right? Mm-hmm. Well, your higher self is going to, because it's energetic, everything's energetic. Obviously I'm not in front of you and you can't see me, right? And so your higher self receives that signal, it comes in contact with my consciousness. And if you don't want that healing or that work, you actually can block me off. So that's how it works. So it's so I can feel the child when they've had enough, you know, and so that's why it's totally safe.
Oh, I've in the past I've had a couple people anyways who says, oh yeah, I've been working on your frequencies and doing this for you and doing that for you, and I'm thinking, yeah, well, I don't feel any different, and you should probably ask me first, right?
Right, exactly. So your higher consciousness is doing that. It's kind of protecting, because otherwise everybody's doing everything to everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so otherwise. I mean, so your higher consciousness knows what is aligned for you, what's beneficial for you and what isn't. And so it's going to block off, you know, any sort of interference or healing. Having said that, unfortunately, I have to mention this as well. I mean, I'm doing healing work and I'm trying to help people shift from traumatic experiences and heal those traumatic experiences. But sometimes there are energies out there that are not so beneficial and that are negative. And of course, they're manipulative and doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, those types of entities are not going to care. And if your higher self is saying, hey, I don't like you, go away, it's going to say, well, tough, I'm still going to do whatever, you know? So unfortunately, there is also some of that going on.
Well, you know, I had a psychic who was on my show, a really nice lady. And she had contacted, it was the first time I ever had her on, and she contacted me later after the show and says, this guy is asking me to use psychic abilities on you to make you think that they're good people and stuff. And she showed me the emails. This crazy guy was trying to get the psychic to do some kind of energy stuff to me. And so,
yeah.
So if one of them decided they wanted to do something like that, which I don't pay it much attention, but if they did, I mean, so what would happen? Would it work? I mean, wouldn't I have to know about it for it to work and believe that it would work for it to work, or no?
That's a great question. Technically, you're supposed to, first of all, be aware of it. You're supposed to be told about it, and you're supposed to believe that this is going to work in order for it to work. Having said that, in fact, that's what I demonstrate in the film, Gods Among Us, because I wanted to bring scientific validation to the contact phenomenon. Contact meaning a human body, a human person, and a human body is coming in contact with a non-physical entity, whatever it may be. It's an angel or some healer or some extraterrestrial. And so we actually demonstrated that scientifically in the film that you can project an energy. Of course, in the case of the film, we were doing an angelic energy and healing energy. We weren't trying to manipulate or anything. And so we used a human DNA sample to make it as close to the human as possible. And we were able to measure significant change in the DNA conductivity, meaning the way the DNA was processing electricity, meaning the information flowing through it. And so, as you know, this was a DNA sample. It wasn't a person that was deciding or believing or anything like that, right? It was just a DNA sample. And so we demonstrated scientifically that there was a significant contact measured. And in the case of the film, because it was a beneficial energy, it was a healing energy, it was an angelic being, there was an increase of conductivity in the DNA tissue. And it shot up like 400%. And the conductivity, the electrical conductivity of the DNA, as an FYI, allows the DNA to repair itself. So this means that this DNA sample, by coming in contact with this angelic form or this healing energy, increased its ability to heal itself. So this was measured that coming in contact with this energy was beneficial to the DNA, therefore to the being, right? Mm-hmm. So this tells you that there is an organic, spontaneous mechanism that happens when two consciousness come in contact with each other. The sample of the DNA, we didn't ask if to the sample of the DNA, hey, are you okay, or do you believe, or anything like that, right?
Right.
Now, we don't know. Now, if it's a negative energy, would it have the same effect? We did measure that because I didn't want to go there. And that wasn't, and, you know, but you can assume it does. Who knows? But and then also the next question is, well, once the DNA sample reacted this way, does it stay this way? You know, after this contact happens, so how long does it maintain this higher conductivity, or what have you?
So then, this DNA, in this experiment, it was affected. You were able to affect it.
Yes, yes. Okay. Measured scientifically, like I said, people can see it in the film. There are other things that happen, but I'm not going to say too much because I want to leave some surprises.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
But because you asked me the question, and it's so important, and people don't realize that you are a sentient being no matter what. You are consciousness no matter what. Even you think you only have a physical form, but you are consciousness, which is a form of energy. I am, your neighbor is, everyone you come in contact with is an energy form. And when two energy forms come together, they're going to affect each other, no matter what. So think about that.
Yeah.
When you go to a place, when you speak to your mother-in-law, I'm joking. Or whoever, or somebody comes, or, you know, so some guy who's, you know, some friend who's just had a horrible fight with someone, or, you know what I mean? You come in contact with people, and then after you leave them, you feel bad. Your feeling bad is not an imagination. There's an actual energetic exchange that happened between you and this person. That's why you feel bad, and vice versa. Sometimes you go, you speak to a person and you feel uplifted.
Absolutely. I had to cut in for a second here, because that's how, if I'm like, when I'm preparing to do my show and we're getting close to me being on air, if somebody's in a bad mood, I tell them, get out of my studio. I don't want that energy on me, because I've got to go on, and it really does affect you. I mean, somebody could come in the room who's in a pissy mood. I'm sorry to put it that way, but they are, or they're depressed, and boy, can it quickly rub right off on you.
Exactly. And so that what we've done is we've scientifically proven that, and which is huge. I mean, this is no longer some new age concept that, hey, you know, raise your vibration or go hug a tree. This is real. You know, it is real. People's energy is exchanged spontaneously. So that says a lot about what you, so you are naturally, spontaneously doing the right thing.
Yeah. Well, I just have to. I mean, it really does. I've been around people who are literally energy vampires. I mean, they just drain you. They literally drain you, and you just can't take it no more. And I mean, it's a real phenomenon. It's so true. Now,
it is a real phenomenon. You just said it. And but the question now becomes for people who are listening and not, you know, maybe not getting the whole picture, then you think, well, how are you supposed to help these people? You know, because that's, there's a fine line between, you know, being bombarded by all this negative energy and you're wanting to help people, help them shift from that place. So that's where it's very difficult. If your energy is brought down, well, then you're not in a place to be helping anyone. So that's the first thing. That's why you have to look out for your own energy. Make sure it's very uplifted. It's very you are in that higher range before you can start helping other people.
And you know, Caroline, these elites, as some of them will call, or these social networks, they're very well aware of this because they play on people's energies all the time. They'll put fake stories up just to see how people react to this stuff because they know that, you know, they know what might trigger my buttons and they'll put it up. I mean, so because they know that these things can affect your energy. I mean, so even a post online that's full of bad energy could rub off on it. I mean, it could change your energy quick, change your feeling and everything real fast, right?
Absolutely. So I'm glad you're bringing this up because it's not just a person or a being or an entity. It's everything. It's the word that's coming out of this person. It's the, you know, sometimes it's even music that's dark or whatever, you know. So anything, everything is a form of energy. Therefore, it's going to have an effect on other energy forms, such as your consciousness.
You know, and I've been calling Facebook Live. I've been keeping up with this because there's a lot of people who are committing suicide on it. There's murders and rapes and all this stuff that's bad that's happening on Facebook Live. It's like the door to hell, this place.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, God. You got to wonder if dark energy like that can be trapped in such a place like online, like Facebook Live. I mean, why is everybody choosing Facebook Live to do it? But they are, for some reason. It's almost like, it reminds me of Halloween. I don't know if you remember the Halloween movies, but there was one where the kids would put on these masks and sit in front of the TV, and all of a sudden the worms would come out of their heads and all this stuff. And it kind of reminds me of that. Like, once you get on Facebook Live, all of a sudden it's like there's some kind of energy there that takes over people's minds and makes them do horrible things. At least that's what it looks like to me. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, Facebook is such a massive platform. I think people are so desperate to be heard. And so I think they're going to gravitate towards the easiest way to be noticed and to be heard. And so Facebook Live is the latest thing, you know. I think that's what, I mean, otherwise, if you are somewhere in some small, you know, countryside, you know, little village somewhere, you're so isolated. No matter what you do, you will never be noticed or heard. But now you have these online platforms that are global.
But they're killing themselves. And I mean, you're only going to be heard once.
Yeah, exactly. But I think they're contributing to a bigger energy, like you said. It's like, this is where I'm gonna make my mark, I'm gonna leave my mark, or what have you. And of course, this is not coming from a place of higher guidance, as you can imagine, because you're self-destructing. Self-destruction is not aligned with the natural flow of the universe, and so it is misaligned. And speaking of which, it's usually 99% of the time, especially suicide, it is because there is a dark entity kind of guiding you to do that. Because the human consciousness as an essence doesn't have that in its original DNA, if you will. It's when you create a new life form, it is created on the basis that it will continue to flourish, to continue to thrive and to continue to create over and over. And so it doesn't have a programming to self-destruct. Otherwise, creation is going against itself. which doesn't make sense. Creation means you create. You keep going.
Well, right. We're built to, I mean, we're supposed to do anything to survive. I mean, that's how we're built. But yet some people come to a point where, you know, that program's turned off.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. So the natural program is to continue to thrive. And it usually takes an interference. That's what I was saying. An outside entity that will interfere and tell you, you know what? This life sucks. What are you doing?